Well, as we heard earlier on, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we interviewed some students about the Troutbeck Symposium that is coming up at Troutbeck, as it deals with actually mostly student participation in getting the information and bringing it out to us, with a part of our history that this area seems to have forgotten or doesn't know much about, and that is Black American history. But the Troutbeck Forum is going to be a way that brings it out even fuller than it did at Salisbury School when we talked about it last year. A little earlier than we talked, we've got one of the co-owners of Troutbeck with us, Charlie Champlain. Charlie, first of all, how did this Salisbury Forum, this forum at Troutbeck come about?
So, hi, very nice to be here today. So we call it the Troutbeck Symposium. Yep. And it came about in August of last year when a history professor at Salisbury, Ronan McCrisky, and I got together and he shared the work here at the school. And I introduced Ronan to the history of Troutbeck. We were led together actually through the project, through one of the family members in the Caesar family that the students were investigating and researching, who actually was connected to Troutbeck and was working with former owners of Troutbeck, Amy and Joel Spingarn. So that's kind of how it started. So it started last August. We started inviting other schools in our area. So we're working with almost 9 schools in our area, both public and independent schools, middle and high schools. We're about 150, or I say we, but there are about 150 students that have been working on this project throughout the year. We kicked it off in September, and the Troutbeck Symposium is taking place on April 28th and April 29th of this month.
Are you surprised at how large it's grown in the participation with the students?
It's been quite extraordinary to feel and see the feedback that we're getting when we start talking about this project. You know, it derives from Troutbeck's history. Troutbeck, the former owners of Troutbeck, Joel and Amy Spingarn, were progressive civil rights activists, one of the most important literary minds of their time. And they hosted 2 conferences at Troutbeck in 1916 and 1933. This was organized by W.E.B. Du Bois. It was under the auspices of the NAACP, yet it was an independent symposium. So there's been a lot going on at Troutbeck historically, and there's so many stories from there that the students are looking at and picking at and understanding. So it's going to be an incredible event to see what it is that they've found. And I think people are very excited about that.
And now, Charlie, the million-dollar question. When you purchased Troutbeck, were you aware of this history?
I was very early on aware of this history, but I had no idea of the things that we would be finding out from when we begun, from an actual letter from Martin Luther King that was in the manor house, to letters from Langston Hughes. And then now that we research and search deeper, we're finding connections to narratives and stories today that we would not expect.
We're speaking about the Troutbeck Symposium, April 28th through the 29th, and it involves a lot of students from our area, from many different schools. Let's speak to Darren Tangler. Darren, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Fine. So tell me a little bit about your participation in this. I've talked to other students. Were you aware of the history, the Black history that was forged in our area? And if not, what caused you to get involved in this in such a heavy way?
Well, to be honest with you, I had no clue about any slavery happening in the North outside of the pre-Civil War. But during that, this class was here last year, and I saw my classmates doing incredible research and exploring narratives of inequities in the area. And through that, I was able to see all the abilities and untold stories, and that's what really made me interested in this.
What's interesting about that, Darren, back in 1970 and 71 at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, we had a teacher by the name of Jack Mahoney. and he formed a Black American Club. And I, like you, once I got involved in that club, was totally amazed at the history of slavery, and not only slavery, but Black Americans in our area and their importance in the eventual, eventual dealing of Black Americans in this country. So it's not anything for you not to have known anything before, because most people around here don't realize the rich trove of Black history that we have surrounding us. Phoebe Sutton, how about you? I mean, how's this turning out for you, and what was the catalyst for you becoming part of this?
So this project is part of our normal history curriculum for this year and for my class and my teacher's class. So we went to the introduction that was at the beginning of September, and we had an introduction. We met Charlie and her husband. And then we've all worked on it for the rest of the year. We're just picking up on our projects now after research. And I did know that we had a lot of history of slavery in the country and on the East Coast, but it was definitely surprising and kind of amazing that it was just 10 to 20 minutes away from here, and there was so much history.
Yeah, we are so surrounded by it. And besides you learning more about this, have you learned other things that didn't cross your mind with what you knew before?
Yeah, I actually had no, I really didn't have anything about Troutbeck before and the Armenian conferences. And the person that I am researching, Addie Waits Hunt, I learned a lot more about the segregation in the army and in the military and the work that she did for that. And that is very interesting to me, the stuff like that. And then also just the conference and what happened at the conference.
Now, Darren, what person did you research?
I'm currently researching John Newton Mars. He is a abolitionist from Springfield, Massachusetts, about 30 minutes away from Salisbury. The main connection that we were really digging deep on is his work in Springfield specifically with John Brown, and whether there would have been a connection between them two leading up to Harper's Ferry, and what influences could have possibly led to that, such as John Newton Mars releasing a list of resolves that matched very similar language used by John Brown in his manifesto after the Fugitive Slave Act. That is the main research that I was doing.
All right, now for both you, Darren and Phoebe, how much time do you spend on this in your work? Does it overlap into other classrooms, or have you gotten so into this that you've been able to portion out your time and really put a lot of time and effort into this particular project?
For us specifically, we meet 4 to 5 times a week, around an hour to 45 minutes. And then on top of that, during X blocks, which are free blocks in my school, we meet as a team and go over, because the other class is also, there's other people working on this. So it's there's multiple classes that are working on this in my school.
And Phoebe, about you?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the year, we started with just some general research. And now for the last couple of months, we've been doing a specific hour period a week, because we do have the rest of our history curriculum. So we do have one period devoted to that. And then also we do a lot of research and stuff at home along with the class per week.
Now let's switch back to you, Charlie, about this symposium, and I'll ask you, it must be kind of gratifying to see what these students are doing and how they're putting it together, but you also have other portions of this symposium that don't include the students. Let's talk a little bit about the full width and breadth of the 28th and 29th.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. So it's incredible to see this student-led project taking place. And we are the hosts and the educators that I work with from the schools. We're just facilitating all of this. So we have some incredible speakers. This work that the students have done have attracted the interest of scholars like Pulitzer Prize winner David Blight, Professor Hassan Kwame Jeffries, Professor Silas Munro, an artist and photographer known as Faustine, amongst guests. And the Thursday 28th of April will be the day when all the students, participating students, are going to present their projects. It's 8 documentary films, it's 3 art exhibitions, and it's also findings through their history and English classes. We also have the Yale Beneke Library coming up, sharing some of their findings from the archives there. And Friday the 29th of April is the open day. So we invite our community to get tickets for this day, to come and see the projects that the students have created and the research they have found, and to meet the speakers and the students. And these tickets are available on the Traupec.com website and also the coloringourpast.com website, that is a student-led website for the Traupec Symposium. We also have tickets in our link on our Instagram page, traupec.ny.
How important do you think it is for businesses, no matter what type of business it is, to become this involved in their community's history? I know that we are an NPR station. We're only about 35% NPR programming. The rest are volunteers who come from all walks of life in our community and help give us the full background of what this community is like and has been like. How important do you think as a business it is for Traupec to be involved like this, not only on this issue, but be get immersed in the area of history?
It's a very interesting question. And when we took over Traupec and opened Traupec in 2017, we didn't put up a lot of the historical material. We didn't want to be a house museum. We kept one letter up in every room. We had no art. We just have one letter, and it is from Martin Luther King. It's a thank you letter to Amy Spingarn, because he was awarded the Spingarn Medal, an honorary that is still being given out today by the NAACP. And we wanted to sort of wake our guests and our community and our members' interest into the history by just giving some signs and also incorporating it into our programming and to sort of our everyday ethos on how we run our business, which is basically we are hosts of these conversations that have taken place for hundreds of years. It is important because the people who work at Traupec they're active and they want to see change and they want to be part of the change. So they also support us in the project like this. And having the students tell the story is completely unique. So it is a very valuable and important thing. So we are also getting wonderful supporters from local businesses around us as well. And we're also reaching out to them at this time to help us support this event.
All right. And final questions for both Phoebe and Darren. Phoebe, we'll start off with you first. How has this changed your approach to Black history and going forward, how you bring about your knowledge and give to other people?
Yeah, so I think one thing that I have found was that I really didn't know so much. A lot of my classmates are doing other projects, and I'm doing my project with another person who is doing something that kind of relates in some way to Addie. But I think just definitely how little I knew and how little of these people's names I knew. And I think that's partly just because, you know, I'm still young, but I think that we should know more of these names. And I also think, you know, in researching how, for me, it was a real struggle to find her name as being part of Traupec. And so I just kind of found it shocking that even though she was there, I found so little information. And of course, there's websites and there's a lot of resources to find these things. But I think just to talk about these more, and it's just extremely interesting to see all of the things that, and the whole history, it's such a long and big history, and to have more resources and more conversations about these people.
And Darren, what about you? What will you take forward in the future from what you're learning from what you're doing in this program?
Well, similar to Phoebe, I wasn't as well informed in these topics. And a question that Mr. McCriskey asked in the first day of class, how many civil rights advocates could you name before 1950? I couldn't even name 5. And that whole this new breath of knowledge and inequities in the area that haven't been represented, that has truly sparked this passion in me, and that will continue further on into college. And
well, as I wrap up, I think one of the great things about this program, and the school should really be thanked, is it's an amazing education tool. It's an amazing tool for life and the future. And just by speaking to you students over the past couple of events and also last year, I'm just so happy that this curriculum has been brought forward. I thank you for participating in it. And Charlotte, thank you for Troutbeck opening up with this symposium on the 28th and 29th of April. Once again, if people want more information or tickets, troutbeck.com, you'll find the link there. Thank you all for participating today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. That was great. I appreciate that. I'll get this edited up and put up on our podcast page right away and start airing it tomorrow.
Fantastic. Marshall, you feel better. Thank you for your time again. I really appreciate it, sir.
Well, I know. I think it's an important topic. Yeah, when I went to school, we only had, in the whole district, we only had, I think, four Black students. They were all my friends, but as much as we learned, we only learned about probably a tenth of what you're uncovering now.
Yeah, no, same with me. And I've been in this game a long time. So with work to be done.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you.